Do you get excited when you start daydreaming about the times you're planning for future outings in the outdoors? Perhaps you've just been considering the idea of using the interest in God's creation that others have to connect them with their Maker. Well, why not join us, won't you, as we visit with pro and amateur sportsmen alike who help others come to know their Creator on the trail to adventure. Here's Jerry Calouette, the host of God's Great Outdoors.
All right, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, and we're here at the Camere Deer booth, and we're in Indianapolis, Indiana. Always love it when it's here because it's just so about a two-hour drive for me, an opportunity to hook up with some folks to have on the program, share some things that are going on in their life, what Jesus means to them as well. Our guest and his wife today, not been on the program, but I've had his dad, Hank Parker, on numerous times over the years, and his brother, Hank Parker Jr., but right now we have Billy Catfish, as a lot of folks call him, Parker, and his wife Laura. Billy, welcome to God's Great Outdoors.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
And Laura, you too.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Want to talk about some things that went on in your life, and I knew about you, Billy, but I didn't know your wife was going through it at the same time. But maybe the first thing I want to know, you've almost been violent to me when I've been in the booths in the years past trying to punch me in the kidneys and things like that. I don't know if you even remember that, but excuse me, your brother warned me about you to be real careful. Where did you get the name Catfish? How did that come out? What age were you and what did you do to get that?
Well, first of all, to clear up me trying to punch you in the kidneys, we were just playing. We come from a big play family, so we like to have a good time. And the best time to kick a man is when he's down. So you had your back turned, so I took a punch. I picked that nickname up early on in my teenage years, I guess, when I was racing stock cars at local tracks. I drove a guy named Mike Lackey. He drove his race car. And he had it up at an old barn, what was a horse or cattle barn at one time. I was in there working on cars and tires and everything else, and I was always really, really dirty, filthy dirty. And he'd come in there, and I'd be up all night working on this thing. And he'd come in there in the mornings or late in the evenings, and he'd look at me. He said, "You are covered, son, head to toe. You look like you've been in a coal mine." And finally he said, "You've just been on the bottom, just slumming around like a catfish." And it stuck. We went to the racetrack. He called me a catfish at the racetrack. And next thing you know, the guy on the PA or on the mics calling me catfish, and it just stuck from then on out.
Well, that's interesting. Goes back to your racing. I know your dad, Hank, has said, how do you make a small fortune in racing? You start with a lot of money, it goes down to just a little bit. I want to talk about what you guys went through. And what I'm going to wind up doing is reading something about new research, urban bow hunting control deer reduce Lyme disease. Just to read those first two paragraphs, a long-running research program with two Connecticut communities found that tightly regulating hunting slashes Lyme disease cases 80% by reducing and controlling the white-tailed deer, a primary host of disease-carrying black-leg ticks. The 13-year study, which ran from 1995 to 2008, used hunters to reduce the deer densities from a peak of 80 deer per square mile to 13 deer per square mile. That decline in deer numbers slashed the tick abundance by 76%, which resulted in 80% fewer cases of Lyme disease reported in the town's residents who were surveyed at least six times during the study. And the reason that I read that is because you went through over a year of struggling with Lyme disease, and then I discovered here as I was at the booth that your wife Laura also went through that. I'm going to start with her and ask her a little bit about what she dealt with. Turns out there have been a number of things that you have gotten from ticks, but hers was not as severe as yours. Let's start with Laura. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you went through personally?
Well, they caught mine at very early stages, so I went through 6 weeks of antibiotics, and I got over it pretty quickly. I just had hand tingling and leg tingling, and I was tired. And I still stay pretty tired from here on out. I don't know if that'll get better, but I'm a lot better than I was. When we first got married, I did also get Rocky Mount spotted fever. Now, that was pretty crazy. It was quickly, I felt really bad. I, you know, had a slight fever and major headaches with the Rocky Mount spotted fever and, you know, just awful nightmares. It had a lot of different side effects, but they gave me doxycycline for that too, and I lived through it and I'm doing good.
Now, you're talking about this being when you first got married. Now, initially, you had shared earlier that you were a PETA anti-hunter type person and you marry this hunting guy. So you were just maybe occasionally going out in the woods and still wound up getting a tick on you.
when we first got married, we were turkey hunting a lot. The first time I shot a gun, I killed a turkey. So we were just in the woods, and we were actually scouting land in Missouri and walked into a place. And gosh, we walked out of a cemetery. It was kind of weird. There was a cemetery there. We walked out, and both of us had ticks all over us, and probably hundreds of ticks on us climbing up our legs. And I'm pretty sure I got it there.
Well, that... I know when I was a kid, getting a couple of ticks on you would freak you out where I lived in Maryland, but we hardly had any deer. Today, that area is overrun with deer, and numerous people getting Lyme disease, or Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and other types of diseases as well. But that hunting that you eventually started doing yourself wound up bringing you to a point where harvesting some of that deer and then being able to cook it. It smells so good. And that's reminding me that my wife Cindy is standing by to share today's recipe. Folks, do send in your recipes, how you prepare the wild fish and game and plants that you might be harvesting. Let us know who it is you're spending time in the outdoors with, what kind of an activity you like to do, and we'll get you a copy of Steve Chapman's book, Outdoor Insights, and they're autographed. And hey, we'll be right back after Cindy shares this.
Now, friends, if you are looking for some of the best wild game and fish recipes to savor the experience of your family's time afield or stream, we've got the cookbook for you. Steve Chapman, author of A Look at Life from a Deer Stand, and his wife Annie have teamed up to write The Hunter's Cookbook. This book is packed with over 200 recipes to turn wild meats and fish into mouth-watering meals. Also scattered amongst the pages are Steve's family's hunting and fishing stories to read while cooking, and Steve Chapman's hand-sketched drawings to complement the stories and recipes too. The Hunter's Cookbook by Steve and Annie Chapman is on our website store at ggoutdoors.org, or call us here at 937-698-3656 to order over the phone. And would you please like us on Facebook at God's Great Outdoors Radio? Remember Genesis 9:3, everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything.
We're back. Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, again in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the ATA show, the Archery Trade Association show, in the Camir Deer booth. And we're with Billy and Laura Parker. Billy, why don't we talk about the situation that you had, because I don't know why it took you so much longer to be able to deal with your Lyme disease, but maybe you can put some insight there for the listeners.
Well, I believe that I contracted Lyme disease long before I found out that I had it. I could probably date it back to in the 2008, 2009, and didn't reveal any test results that were positive until 2012, in the summer of 2012. With me being in, you know, farming and scouting and deer hunting, just being an outdoorsman, I was exposed to a lot of ticks throughout the warm seasons of the year. And I look back, and I can tell you, any given month that it was a warm season, I can tell you I had at least a handful of ticks on me that month. Once I did get test results saying that I had Lyme disease, boy, it was really a relief. More than anything else, because my body had deteriorated so bad, and I had, my energy levels were so low, and my immune system was just depleted to almost nothing. So I was just, anything I was exposed to, I would just be double sick, whether it was a cold, allergies, or even poison ivy. If I got a dab of poison ivy on my arm, before I knew it, it was all over my entire body because my immune was so low.
Why don't you talk about the treatments, and I think you were going to somewhere at least once a week. Might want to paint a picture of the difficulties of getting rid of this were for you at the stage that you had it.
Yeah, well, just to clarify what my treatment was, is once I found out that how severe my Lyme disease was by reading the test results and the factors and the cofactors and the elevations of what I had, the doctor that I saw, Dr. Cohn, suggested that I start three times a week being hooked up to an IV, getting an immune boost. So I did that for 2 weeks. And then for the following 20 weeks, I went to the clinic 5 days a week, approximately anywhere from 6 to 8.5 hours a day, hooked up to a port they put in my chest where I received heavy doses of antibiotics like doxycycline and rocephin. Along with that, I did other types of treatments like hyperbaric chamber, lymphatic drainage through massage, which was not what you'd really call a massage, but all the hard tissue, that lactic acid that built in my body that has created knots, that I had a therapist, you know, do their best to physically remove that. And then I got into once a week I was taking a flush, intestinal tract flush. And so it was a long process. It was on average about 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for 20 weeks. That was my treatment. I was willing to try anything because my life was basically, in my mind, was over. It was a dark day every day. I was feeling horrible, and I couldn't function. I couldn't do any of the things that I used to do, and so I was basically on house arrest, so to speak. I'm just in a really depressed mood. But I was so thankful when I found out that I did have Lyme disease, and the doctor drew up a protocol for treatment. I felt like there was hope left. I could get better. And at 7 weeks into my 20-week treatment, I started seeing results.
Well, certainly that was, I'm sure, an exciting time. And I wonder how the Lord might have been speaking to you during that imprisonment that you felt you were under. We're going to find out a little bit more about all of this. We need to take one more break and we'll be back.
Since July 6, 1996, God's Great Outdoors Radio and Ministry has been on the air to help listeners win others to the Creator God, Jesus Christ. The program is made possible because of the financial help of our listeners, and for this help we are truly blessed. Additional underwriting support is by Matthews Archery and the new V3 compound bow, plus Mission Archery with a revolutionary technology and design that provides a maximum crossbow experience. Also, Three Rivers Archery, supplying what one needs to make their own bows and arrows, and Hunter Safety System, saving lives is what we do. Also, Phil Havens Technology, LLC, a website designer and maintenance service provider.
Are you passionate about the sport of fishing? Does your fishing have a greater purpose than just catching fish? Hello, my name is Trevor Rubel. I am the executive director of Hook for Life Ministries. Hook for Life is a ministry devoted to sharing Jesus Christ with children and families through the sport of fishing. Hook for Life is helping Christian anglers use their passion for fishing to start their own church-based fishing ministry. To learn how to start a fishing ministry in your church, drop us a line at hookedforlife.org or call 540-819-0266.
Polestar Outdoors is a nonprofit Christian organization whose sole passion is to come alongside young people and, by utilizing the outdoors, help guide them through life. We use hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, and competitive shooting to try to impact the students of this generation. For more information, go to our website at polestar-outdoors.org or call 307-254-4179.
We're back, Jerry Calluet, God's Great Outdoors. Again, we're in Indianapolis, Indiana at the Archery Trade Association show, and we're at the Camir Deer booth, and we're with Billy Catfish. For some of you that watch the programs that they produce, well, that might help you know who he is, Parker and his wife, Laura. Laura, I wonder if you couldn't speak to the different symptoms, so as folks are doing things in the outdoors, God's creation, they may wind up having a tick or had been bitten by a tick and didn't even realize it. Now, there's some things that they could be pointed to, because I know that you said in the middle of all this experience, you had some doctor tell you that he didn't even believe in Lyme disease. So maybe you can be speaking toward the symptoms and what folks can be looking at.
I guess I would say definitely if you're not feeling good, listen to your body and what your body's telling you. I mean, I feel like one thing we've really missed out on is that we were feeling tired very early on. We were feeling tired, having different like hand numbness, feet numbness, different things going on that shouldn't be going on. And you'd have joint pain and gosh, you just ache all over pretty much. There were just several different symptoms that you would have. And if I would have just listened earlier and went, which I feel like I did, but on Billy's case, I wish he would have listened a little bit earlier.
Well, certainly he's probably hard at it when it comes to killing the animals out there that he likes to pursue. Maybe, Billy, you can speak to what God might have said in your life, shared with you in your life as you were going through all of this difficulty.
Well, sometimes you have to you have to be slowed down, or you have to grow. There's a lot of things that could take place in your life, and I felt like this was a growing place for me. You know, I know that the Lord did not want me to have Lyme disease. He didn't give it to me. I had no part of it, but He used it in a manner where I got to be educated, and I got to make some new friends, and I'm able at this point in my life to be more knowledgeable about the situation and help others. You know, and I feel like I have. I feel like I've brought awareness to it. I've helped a lot of folks who didn't know what was going on with their body, help them find out that there's a high probability they have Lyme disease, and there is hope and there is treatment for it.
Well, and certainly I'm sure there's a sensitivity to people as they're going through some kind of physical or emotional difficulties, and God can do that once we've gone through those kinds of situations. Just appreciate the fact that you were willing, both of you, you're on your way of leaving the show, but taking the time to spend with our listeners and share what you guys have gone through. Laura, just thank you so much for being here and being a part of God's Great Outdoors.
Oh, thank you.
And you too, Billy. Despite what your brother said, you are an excellent interview. And he's told some stories on you that I'm glad that God worked in your life to maybe slow you down, because I think He can use you in the days ahead as you're having contact with other people and sharing your relationship with Christ through what you went through.
Absolutely. And to all the outdoorsmen out there, early detection is key, and preventative maintenance is so important if you're an outdoorsman. Please do your due diligence. See how to prevent Lyme disease. Treat your clothing with different applications of things that they offer on the market now to prevent Lyme and other tick-borne illnesses, and get tested annually. Once the hunting season's over or farm season's over for you, and you start getting into cooler months, get tested. Early detection is key. It's not a big deal if you catch it early. You can take some mild medicines, and you can be over it in just weeks. Don't be like me and put it off for years and really have to go through a long, hard process to get better. So good luck to everybody. Appreciate you listening in and having me on the show.
Well, it's clear that Billy and his wife Laura both realized that, as Romans 8:28 tells us, all things do work together for good. God certainly can use these kinds of situations in our life to change us and use us in some way to help others hear about the Creator God, Jesus Christ, and see them come into the kingdom by praying to receive Him as their Lord and Savior. Now, interestingly enough, the Ohio hunting and trapping regulations handed out to every hunter when they buy their hunting license make this important point about black-leg ticks. It's that adult black-leg ticks are actively looking for hosts such as people, pets, or deer, not only in the fall, but on warm winter days as well. So certainly this is another factor that you need to be considering as you go afield any time of the year. And clearly, as the Connecticut report showed, keeping the deer populations into a small, manageable herd helps reduce greatly the number of ticks and therefore those that are affected by tick-carrying diseases. And besides the reduction in these diseases, the venison that is harvested can go to helping at food pantries feed those folks who need an excellent source of protein. And it's a valuable time together for friends and relatives to enjoy God's creation. And on this theme of hunting, I want to bring to your attention that God's Great Outdoors Facebook was attacked by an animal rights organization out of the country of England. These people across the pond felt that we were dishonoring God because we're teaching people to murder when it comes to harvesting of the game that we have out in God's creation. Besides some of the things that were said by these people that couldn't be repeated on the air, they also took a tactic where they're giving us only one star when it comes to being liked on Facebook. Consequently, that drives down our rating. Could you help us by, number one, going to our Facebook at God's Great Outdoors Radio and liking the page and commenting in that you present God's Word? Remember, this is a religion to these people, and God's Word will not return to Him empty and void. So you can talk about the fact that the first animal killed was killed by God to clothe Adam and Eve, that in the Ten Commandments where it says that thou shalt not kill, that is referring to people and not animals. After all, they were sacrificing animals on a daily basis. The Levitical laws actually allowed the eating of things like deer, roebuck, and choice fowl, which were actually on Solomon's table every day. That in Acts 10, a sheet's lowered, and Peter is told, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Inside that sheet was every kind of animal, and these were things that at one time couldn't have been eaten, but because Jesus died on the cross, he did away with the Levitical laws, so we can consume all of the creatures in God's creation. And most important, Jesus told the disciples to go prepare for the Passover meal, which was to eat lamb, and John, he had fish on the shore, and invited the disciples to join him to dine on those fish. So clearly, if Jesus can eat meat, we all can eat meat. And a lot of these scriptures are on our bookmark, Should Man Hunt? What Does the Bible Say? If you've never gotten one of those, might be something to consider. Whatever the case might be, using time in God's creation to reach others with the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that we can spend eternity with him forever is what it's really all about. So you can use these scriptures as you go and like us on Facebook at God's Great Outdoors Radio. Who knows, something that you say and using those scriptures and others that God may bring to your mind could have an impact in the lives of those folks that come and review our Facebook page and see them come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We can't wait to hear the great report. All right, now don't go off. We've got more to come.
Here's a one-that-got-away fishing story from God's Great Outdoors. Before tournament fishing became his bread and butter, Hank Parker was still hung up on fishing, as you'll understand. A young man of 17, he remembers a fishing trip to Lake Wylie on the border of the Carolinas, not too far from Charlotte. Hank was working crankbaits in the mouth of Pole Branch Creek, and the flats of this bay were littered with tree stumps, and one stump in particular had been in young Hank's mind as he motored to the area. Positioning the boat, Hank cast to the stump, and right off he had a fish on. The fish tangled in a limb that was sticking out of the water next to the stump. Believing the fish to be relatively small, he paid the fish no mind and began pulling the limb's dead weight in. When the whole mess was at the boat's side, Hank was shocked to see the size of the fish. It was huge. And, adds Hank, the crankbait looked like a crappie jig in that bass's mouth. The bass was probably about to die of old age, and now, Hank, in looking back, thinks that perhaps in his 17-year-old excitement the bass looked bigger than it really was, but in any case, he had jerked so hard to work the limb toward the boat that all the hooks on the crankbait had pulled free but one barb. And in his surprise at the fish's size, Hank relaxed the tension on the fishing line, and even that last hook came free, letting the big bass slowly swim away. Hank Parker has been hung up as a professional, too. Years later, in Knoxville, Tennessee, during the 1980s, Hank was in contention to win the World's Fair Fishing Tournament, needing only one more fish to take first place. Hank headed out to an out-of-the-way bay where he missed hooking an 8 to 9 pound bass during the pre-fishing. With one cast to where that fish hung out, Hank had him hooked again. Trouble was, the bass became tangled in an old trot line that had washed into the bay from the river. Hank carefully worked the fish and even had his hand on him when, because of the tangle, the bass slipped away, and with it, the $50,000 first prize. Hank took home fourth place and $5,000. Now, Hank may not have won the big one there, but one place he did come up the winner, and that's with the eternal salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ. For a free booklet on the subject by Ronda Lindner called The End of the Line, contact us by mail, phone, or email, right here at God's Great Outdoors.
Did you enjoy that story? Do you know that you can get that story and 63 others in the book Hunting Blunders and the One That Got Away? Something that you can use yourself as a devotional, or you can get copies to give to those that God has placed on your heart that you know need to have a personal relationship with the Creator in the creation they love to enjoy. You can order copies through our web store at ggoutdoors.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-877-TALK-GGO. This book can make a difference in someone's life. Why don't you contact us and get a copy today?
We'd like to send to you a free Should Man Hunt? What Does the Bible Say? Bookmark, so you can see what the scriptures say on this topic. To get this great witnessing tool for those outdoorsmen in your life, email us at ggoutdoors@aol.com.
Thanks to today's guest, we pray that we've helped equip you toward using your time in God's creation to change lives for eternity. Remember, use your recreation in the outdoors to share Jesus with others. I'm John Skillman, reminding you that no matter what you do in the outdoors in the way of activities or interest, there's no better way to benefit from God's great outdoors.